Well, good morning, Calvary. It's so good to be back with you. It was several years ago when we were with you before and had the privilege of spending time with your staff. We brought our whole board. You know, Rick, you talk about your boss being here. My bosses were here, and we had a wonderful board meeting. Pastor Mounce was able to bring devotions and pour into our board members, and we had a wonderful dinner with your deacons and leadership and missions leadership, and we're able to fellowship together, and it was a great retreat for our board to regroup and to set direction and a course for our organization, and it happened right here, where missions begins. Because while missions, ABWE is a missions organization, we remind ourselves of this all the time. We don't send one missionary. Local churches send missionaries. ABWE exists to help local churches get your missionaries sent. And it was good, Perry, for me to know that this is the area where God works for sent missionaries. Okay, so anyone sitting back here we need to talk to after the service, because this is where the Holy Spirit works the most, right here. So good job, you guys sitting over here. We exist to help you as a local church to be able to send the pieces out. And have you heard how they creatively have gotten into the Ireland culture? They're using but using their relationship ability. And I think if you know Rick and Jen, you know they've got a tremendous ability to build relationships and using creative means to be able to reach Ireland for Christ, and we get to be your partner in doing that. Are they yours? Yes, and we get to help you send yours out. And I'm so grateful that we were able to introduce you to Diego and Anna. What a blessing! You know, they've done more before 30 than most people will do their whole lives. You know, and so it's so great to have them here. And I can't think of a better church, Diego, for you and your family to be connected with than Calvary here. And for us to be here, Perry and Sandy, while you're being honored and Barnabas has had such a tremendous impact, as you know, on ABWE. And so, boy, what a neat opportunity for us to be together here. And Pastor, thank you for inviting us back. You heard us preach once, so I'm like encouraged that I get to be here. Since we were with you, God has seen fit to help ABWE partner with almost 300 churches to send 320 missionaries since we were with you last. 320 North American missionaries are getting on the field or on the field that weren't when I was last with you. God is doing an incredible work. Think of the impact that they will have. And of those 320 missionaries since we were there, there's about 165 of them that are on pre-field ministry. The rest are already on the field. And we're seeing wonderful teammates. The Ireland team has new teammates. The Duvals in Ecuador have multiple new teammates. And if you've heard anything about the news that's happening in Ecuador, it's good to have gospel light ministry happening in Ecuador. And so God is doing a new thing amongst North American churches, and we're excited to be a part of it. And so that's why I'm so delighted to be with you here this morning. I want to take a moment to pray, because I joked around about this part of the auditorium being where the Holy Spirit works, but we're going to dive into God's Word this morning. And could we just take a moment and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to do His work? I don't know about you, but I've sat in sermons where it wasn't that the message wasn't important, but it wasn't the message, it was the Holy Spirit in the message that spoke to me. Have you ever experienced that? I want to pray that we experience that this morning. Father, as we spend some time in your word this morning, I pray that your word would do what it is so good at doing, that it would, like a knife, cut between the thoughts and the intents of our heart, the things that we're mulling on, the things that we're thinking about. And Lord, would you drive your word deeply in our heart through the power of your Holy Spirit to speak to us and to change us and to mold us in ways that would not only be more like your Son, Jesus Christ, but Lord, would be more faithful to the commission that you have given your people. To go into all the world, to make disciples of all nations. And Lord, I pray that you would use your word to instruct us in this morning and to move us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to be in verses 6 through 9, which is your theme. And if you've done any studying in the book of 1 Corinthians, you'll find that while this theme is a beautiful missions metaphor, the context of Paul using this metaphor, it's an interesting context. Because Paul is going to give us this metaphor. And by the way, part of what I want to explore this morning is he's going to share with us, Paul's going to explain to us that there is a mystical part of missions. There's the work of missions, there's missionaries, and we want to go into all the world, and we can talk about a lot of missions, but Paul's going to use this passage to reveal to us that there's a mystical part. There's something happening in missions work that can only be attributed to himself. So let's read the passage, and the context, the context is Paul's talking about divisions. He's talking about ministry. I don't know if you know this, but sometimes in ministry, divisions happen. Sometimes rough stuff happens in ministry. And just because rough stuff happens in ministry, it doesn't mean that those rough times aren't good times to teach good theology. Sometimes those rough times are the best times to teach good theology. And I think the Apostle Paul is using this division between people following Apollos and people following him. And Paul's going to use this division, this negative thing, to explain to the Corinthians a positive thing about ministry. And we're going to apply it directly to missions this morning. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, it says this: I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. And that word growth there could also be translated fruitfulness or fruit bearing. And it's not just growth. I love planting and growing tomatoes. And there have been years when I have planted tomatoes and I've had huge, beautiful red tomatoes, and my wife looks at them, you know, and she waits for them to turn red. And when they turn red, you know, she eats them before I get home. And no, she would never do that. But it produces beautiful fruit. But I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but there have been times when I've planted tomatoes and I either fertilized them wrong or got the wrong, and I'll have these beautiful green plants and no tomatoes. Some of you have done that. Some of you are chuckling. And so this word here, growth, has the idea of fruitfulness. So it isn't just random growth happening. There's fruitfulness. God gives the fruitfulness. It's God who gives the growth. So then Paul goes on and says, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. Now, I want to take our passage this morning and apply it to missions, but let me make two, I think, key exegetical comments about this short little passage here, and then we'll dive in and begin applying it to missions here at Calvary and abroad. The first two points I just want you to think that I think are worth exploring in this passage, it's this. as you read these verses, each one of us plays a different role in the growth of God's kingdom. Each and every one of us, and I think we can make this broadly exegetical, the Apostle Paul is teaching the Corinthians that, listen, some people water, some people plant, but God gives the growth. But every single person in the church plays a role in the growth process of what God is doing in the kingdom. Now, we can talk about, you know, who produced the success. Well, the fruitfulness or the success came from God. But there is faithful planting and there is faithful watering. And if you look at the text, you'll see that these specific roles can answer the question of why God has made you the way he's made you. I don't know if you've ever thought this. I have. Why has God designed you the way he's designed you? Why has God put you in Covington, Kentucky? Why has God given you the spouse that he's given you? Why has he given you the children that he's given you? One of the answers to those questions, all of those questions, is he has specifically put you in those situations and given you those gifts, responsibilities, and placement on this earth for you to either be planting or watering in a specific ministry. It is no mistake that you are here sitting in a missions conference right now. And a part of why you're here is because God's got something for you to plant or something for you to water so that he can give the growth and the increase. Here's the second exegetical comment I want to make. Each one of us play a different role in the growth of God's kingdom. Secondly, our roles are about faithfulness and not success. Because God gives the growth. Our roles are about faithfulness and not success. Look at the end of verse 9 here. It says, Paul says, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his wages according to his labor. See, Paul's teaching the Corinthians, and I don't completely understand how this works, but Paul's teaching the Corinthians, he said, listen, be a faithful planter. Be a faithful waterer. Not because you're going to produce anything, because it's God who produces everything. But why must you be a faithful planter and why must you be a faithful waterer? Because whether we plant or we water, we're all one. And when we're faithful to do the ministry that God has called us and gifted us to do, the Apostle Paul says, whether we plant or whether we water, we will receive his wages according to his labor. So the rationale between being faithful is that we will receive a crown. I don't know when the last time you looked through some scripture to see what's awaiting believers, but multiple places in scripture we're told that there are it talks about wages here, but it's what has been earned. We know that salvation is not earned, but as faithful servants of Jesus Christ, as followers of Jesus Christ, the Bible is very clear that there are things that we will earn. And the Apostle Paul is actually using that as a motivator for the Corinthians. Listen, be faithful planters. Be faithful waterers. Why? Because when we see Jesus Christ, there is earning a reward for us. In 2 Timothy 4:8, for those who seek Christ's return, there is a crown of life. There's a crown of righteousness that is awaiting for believers of Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter chapter 5, there's a crown of glory for those specifically who are faithful in ministry. These rewards are God's blessings on his faithful servants. So brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you, why be faithful in your ministry? Because there is a reward being stored up for you in heaven. a reward that when you see the gloriousness of the Son of Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, when you see what he has truly done for you, when he stands in glory and majesty over you, and when you see him as he is, and you think to him yourself, I'm standing in front of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, what will I give him? Those things that you have earned are what you will give him. And when you stand at his feet, you will have something to throw at his feet so that you don't come before the King of Kings empty-handed, but with a reward with you. And brothers and sisters, the Apostle Paul seems to think that is a good motivator for the Corinthians to have, for them to be active in serving in ministry. And I know some of you, like Perry and Sandy, have served the Lord for many years. Do not lose heart. Do not stop. I used to work with a worship leader from Arkansas. And he said, there's some people in our church that are used to wuzzers. I was like, what's a used to wuzzer? And he said, well, it's an Arkansas phrase. It's people who used to do things that don't do it anymore. Brothers and sisters, do not grow weary in well-doing. Amen. Because you will reap a harvest if you don't grow faint. And then Paul in this passage, those are two exegetical comments that I just wanted to make. But the interesting part of this passage is that Paul reveals this mystery. And the mystery is that the planter and the waterer are one, but they're nothing. Because God gives the increase. God is who alone deserves the glory for any ministry success that we see. Why? Because he's the one that's mystically producing the success. Pastor, have you ever strived and worked hard and been faithful at an event or something that you wanted to pull off and you pulled it off and you worked hard and it kind of went, eh. And then have you done something you're just like, oh, you know what, I got to show up at this event. It's just something, you know, it's like, I know it's going to happen. And you show up and it's like, it just blew up and it was a great, that's a mystery. It's because we don't control the success of the Holy Spirit's work in hearts. What we are is we're faithful to plant the seeds of ministry. We're faithful to do the loving. Why do we love one another? Because that love might just be the seed that plants in the heart a move towards Christ from someone who is hard-hearted. Amen. The fruitfulness is not based on our giftedness. Can anyone say amen on that? I look at some of your missionaries and I'm like, I'm glad I'm not up here because of my giftedness. God's glory. And this is why Paul, I think, pleaded with churches that he wrote to time and time again, whether it's the Colossians or the Philippians. Paul pleaded with those churches to pray for him. Why? Because I think Paul clearly understood that it was not his giftedness that was going to produce his success in ministry. It was God's working and producing growth in the seeds that he planted or the plants that he watered. I want to turn a gear here real quick. I want to talk about this vital relationship between churches, sending churches, supporting churches, and missionaries, because I think this metaphor here plays into helping us to see the role. What is a role of you as a person within Calvary Baptist Church? What is your role in missions here? What is your role in missions around the globe? So, first of all, let me give you a definition, a very simple definition of a missionary. A missionary is one sent out to proclaim the gospel and make disciples. I think sometimes we confuse what missions is. missionary is just one sent out, someone who's been sent out from this church to proclaim the gospel and to make disciples. Rick and Jen were a part of this church. Perry was a part of this church, grew up here. And what did you do? You sent them out. Now, they're going to do it in creative and different ways, but you sent them out to proclaim the gospel and to make disciples. And in Mark chapter 4, you don't have to turn there, but in Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29, Jesus paints this picture of a farmer who plants seeds. And the story goes, the parable's like this. The farmer goes out to sow, and he sows the seeds. And then the farmer goes to sleep. And he gets up, and the seeds have grown. And he doesn't know how that happened. What happened while he was sleeping that the seeds have grown? And so whether it's in this passage or in the passage in 1 Corinthians, what we see is we see this mystery of God's movement in the faithful seed planting of people. So why, when you send Rick and Jen out, when you send missionaries out, what are you asking them to do? You're asking them to plant seeds like that farmer in Mark chapter 4. To go to new places, to go to places where the gospel isn't yet heard. I'm sure you guys will talk about this more when you're sharing, but I think you know that Ireland is a dark place spiritually. Evangelical Christianity, it's at unreached status in most of the country. There are sections where there are more churches, but you think Ireland, where in the year 440, St. Patrick came over and planted churches. The gospel has been in and around Ireland for many years, but in the last years, there's been this rise of secularism and atheism. And then there's been an influx of immigrants. So there's an influx of Hinduism and Buddhism and even Eastern Orthodox has grown as Eastern Europeans have moved into Ireland. So Ireland has become this mishmash of everything but evangelical Christianity. And there's a darkness there that needs men and women like Rick and Jen to take seeds of the gospel and to begin planting them. I need chiropractic care. My back is bothering me. So I talk to Rick or I run into Jen at the store and I have a wonderful interaction and she's so gracious and different than the people that I've met before. And I strike up a conversation with her and one by one, seeds are being planted for the gospel. Amen. And you know what Rick and Jen do? They cast those seeds. And apparently then they go to meetings where they goof around. No. They cast those seeds. And then the parable in Mark 4 says they go to sleep. In other words, they just leave those seeds rest. And the Holy Spirit begins working in some of those seeds. And some of those seeds begin to bear fruit. And that's a missionary's role. Missionary's role is to just go into places that are dark and places that, listen, you and I are not going to, in the daily course of our life, none of us are just going to get to Ireland, right? None of us are going to end up in County Cork, which is one of the darkest places spiritually in Ireland. None of us are just going to be like, you know what? Well, Pastor, I'll meet you at County Cork. We're going to go there for breakfast tomorrow. We're just not going to make it there. Unless we as the body of Jesus Christ, unless churches intentionally take the gospel and the Great Commission seriously, when we were commanded by our Lord Jesus Christ to go therefore and make disciples of all nations, so we as a church body say, you know what, we can send someone to Ireland, we can't maybe send it to everyone, but we can send someone to Ireland, and while we'll never make it to County Cork, Rick can. And he can plant a seed that the Holy Spirit can produce fruit in. And so that's the role of the missionary. Let's back it up and talk about our role as a church. Because in our first Corinthians 3 passage, the Apostle Paul says this, you know, some plant and some water. So there's multiple ministries, and we as a church ministry, what is our role? Well, let me give you one of the significant roles that I think we underplay many times. And I think the reason we underplay it is because this, whether we say this intentionally or not, we think that Jen and Rick's ministry success, Diego's and Anna's ministry success, we think it's based on giftedness. Now, we may not say that out loud, but we look at their lives and we see their gifts, and when they're successful or when we see success, we say, oh, yeah, of course, that makes sense because look how relational Rick is. And brothers and sisters, that's a trap, because if there's any ministry success, the scriptures explicitly tell us it was because who did it? Who did it? God did it. Were they faithful? Yes. And are they earning a reward for that faithfulness? Yes. But are they producing the success? No. God is producing the success through the seeds that they planted. And so this is why I think it's of critical importance that we, Calvary, be praying for our missionaries. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. It says this, continue, he's talking to the church, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us. And what does he pray for? That God may open a door for the word. Now, Paul could have said, so that I do a good job preaching. But that's not what he said, because Paul had an understanding of who produces the increase. And brothers and sisters, if it is truly God who produces the increase, and it is his sovereign will of whom these seeds are going to be planted, and some of these seeds are going to sprout up and some of them aren't. The Apostle Paul said, would you pray earnestly that in our ministry, that God would open a door for the word, that the hearts of the people that we're talking to, their hearts would open so that the word of God would penetrate into their heart and begin changing them and molding them, so the Holy Spirit would work and produce fruit in their life unto salvation and then unto good works, so that the name and fame of Jesus Christ could grow. The Apostle Paul said, pray for us. Calvary, I confess, I don't know how it works. I wish I had the formula for how prayer in Covington, Kentucky produces fruit on a green island 4,000 miles from here. And I don't understand it. But just because we don't understand it doesn't mean that we are called to be faithful waterers in prayers. So Calvary, may I plead with you as the scriptures plead with us in Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, pray earnestly the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers into his field. If we believe really that God produces the increase, we need to pray earnestly. Think of the seeds that you've planted years ago that you've given up on. A loved one. Think of that neighbor that you witnessed to 10 years ago, but you've kind of just forgotten. You've been like, you know, they haven't. I've got a neighbor who's an Indian, and we swap hot peppers in garden season. But you know, hot peppers are only 1 week a year. And that's like the only thing we have in common, other than we live close to each other. And I see him and I'm like, what do I say to him? You know, he's getting into his car, I'm getting out of my car, you know, we're hey Ken. His name's not Ken, I can't pronounce his name. So I say Ken, it's Ken. So I call him Ken. And you know, 1 week a year, I give him some of my hot peppers and he gives me some of his hot peppers, and that's our. And you know what? I don't know what that interaction has produced. And do you have some interactions like that that you've kind of given up on? You know, well, it's only once a year. It's only pray earnestly the Lord of the harvest that he would send laborers. You don't know what those seeds will produce because you're not God. So let us be faithful planters. And brothers and sisters, let us, again, as we think in a missions context, you are the waterers that your missionaries are counting on. You are the prayer warriors that your missionaries are counting on to come beside and they've planted, and then now your prayers are watering. And we know that the effectual, fervent prayer of righteous people avails what, class? Much. Much. So there's this mysterious relationship between churches and missionaries that is engaged in prayer together, where the fruitfulness of the missionary is directly correlated between the movement of God, and movements of God we know are directly correlated to the faithful prayer of believers, or we would not be told to pray. Because the effectual fervent prayer of righteous man avails much. God wants us to pray. So that's an interesting interplay there, the mystery of how prayer happens. As we finish up, I'd love for you to turn to Acts chapter 13. I just want to wrap up with a practical, how does this work out in real life? Because in the book of Acts, we actually have a picture of a church that's in relationship with a missionary. In Acts chapter 13, the first missionary is sent out. And some things happen here, and I just want to very quickly wrap up with what we see here. Acts chapter 13, I'm in verses 1 through 3. Now there were in the church at Antioch some prophets and some teachers, and go down to verse 2. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, so there were some teachers, and the church is gathering. The church in Antioch is forming. It's gathering. People are starting to be teaching the word. There's some prophets and some teachers there. And in verse 2, they're worshiping the Lord and they're fasting. And as they're worshiping and fasting, the Holy Spirit says, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. Now, first missionary is being sent. I want to point out some things that are happening here, but before you do that, I want to skip one chapter over and see. So this is Paul and Barnabas being sent. I want you to see when Paul and Barnabas return. Because what's going to happen is Paul and Barnabas are going to be sent, and they're going to come back to the church. Now, look at chapter 14, verses 27 and 28. And so in verse 24, Paul and Barnabas are making their way back to Antioch. By verse 27, they get back to Antioch. And when they arrived and gathered the church together, they declared all that God had done with them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. Does that passage sound familiar to you? What Paul prayed the Colossian church to have happen is exactly what God did to answer their prayer. And so Paul saw fruitfulness. Paul and Barnabas were fruitful missionaries. I don't think it's any coincidence that they were fruitful in the exact thing that Paul asked churches to pray for. And so, very quickly, let me list for you six things that I think good churches do. And this is kind of the take it home. I want to give you some handles. Like, I love a good message. I love diving into Scripture. But what are some handles that we can take home with us as a sending church, as a supporting church? What are some things that we see as an example in Paul and Barnabas and the church in Acts that we can be doing. First of all, in this partnership development between the church and the missionary, we see this. We see a mutual commitment to the Great Commission. Churches don't send their... Imagine if you, Pastor, imagine you had Paul and Barnabas in your church. I guarantee you they would have a leadership role somewhere. I guarantee you they would not be leading one ministry, they'd probably be leading three. But churches that want to be powerfully impacting around the globe understand that it takes the best and the brightest from churches, and they're probably the ones that the Holy Spirit is going to send. And if we're praying earnestly, the Lord of the harvest, to send laborers in the field, it's probably not going to be, listen, can I just be frank? It's probably not going to be a disobedient, uninterested slacker that God calls to the mission field. It's probably going to be the most obedient. The person that we're going to miss the most. The person we're going to be tempted to say, we can't do it without them. Like, what are we going to do if we send them? Secondly, what we see in this sending church is prayer and fasting. Did you see that prayer and fasting showed up twice? The church was praying and fasting when the Holy Spirit set apart Paul and Barnabas, and then when the church was faithful to send out Paul and Barnabas, they prayed and fasted again. Calvary, when was the last time we prayed and fasted for our missionaries? And this goes to our understanding, if it is the Lord doing the work, and if it is prayers that move the Lord, then this prayer and fasting needs to be a part of the rhythm of a church that's sending and supporting. You're going to get to see, you're going to get to see Rick and Jen here, and they're going to tell you about their stuff tonight. I wonder if there would be a group of us here at Calvary that would take some time after they share their thing to gather around them and to lay hands on them once again and to pray that God would open a door for the gospel and the ministries that they share. So it looks like a mutual commitment to the Great Commission. Both the people being sent and the church are committed to sending. It looks like earnest prayer and fasting. And also the relationship between churches and missionaries. It looks like mobilizing resources. The church laid hands. The idea of laying on of hands is they were being commissioned. It was part of this being sent out. So the church had a beautiful resource in Paul and Barnabas. Two people that could do amazing things within the church. And the church said, no, we're going to commission you. We're going to lay hands on you. And we're going to send you out. So they were mobilizing resources and talents for the Great Commission. Here's the fourth one. And it looks like releasing loved ones. The word sent here is an interesting word. I know your pastor is a student of the text, and there's a lot of words for sent that could have been used for here, but the word sent that's used for what the church did, it has the idea of releasing from a debt, releasing from an obligation. And so what the church wasn't just saying, here, go. The church was saying, here, go. We've got things covered over here. But I've got to leave my parents behind. I've got family members that are going to need help if I go overseas and if I go to Ireland and share the gospel and plant seeds of the gospel in Ireland. There's going to be some things here that normally I would take care of that I can't care of. What this word sent has the meaning of is as they were sending them, they were releasing them. They're saying, listen, we know you've got obligations here, but as the body of Christ, we're going to take on your obligations so that you can go. And I think that's critical. Again, especially Calvary as a sending church, supporting churches need to do that too, but as a sending church, there are times when your missionaries that are sent from your church are going to have some obligations. They're going to feel like, we've got to come home to do this. We've got to come. And there may be a time they have to come home. But there may also be at times as a sending church where you're saying, we've got your back. We've got you. And here's the fifth one. It looks like loving communication and updates. When in chapter 14, when Paul and Barnabas came back, they were encouraged by them. They declared all that God had done for them. So there's this beautiful communication. What's happening in the church? What's happening on the field? What seeds are we planting? What things need to be prayed for? And this communication, it's not just about information. It's helpful information so that we can pray specifically for a door of the gospel to be opened in the things that we know about that are happening. And again, this goes back to our faith in who's doing the work. Because while the pieces are here, those seeds have been planted and we can be watering in prayer. And so this communication is important. You hearing the seeds that they've planted tonight are critical. You understanding what Diego and Anna are going to be doing is critical. You understanding what Perry and Sandy are doing is critical for you to be able to pray and water the seeds are there. Here's the last thing. It looks like deep fellowship, unfazed by time or distance. The last thing in the chapter 14, it says, they spent no small time together. Love. Loving your missionary. So brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you this morning that you and I don't really understand what's going to make our missionaries successful. Because that's God's work. But church, we can be faithful in planting seeds and we can be faithful in watering those seeds through prayer and support and encouragement. And I want to thank you, Calvary, for allowing an organization like ABWE to be a part of what you're doing. But I want to encourage you, let us not grow weary in well-doing. Let us not grow faint. Seeds have been planted and now need to be prayed for and watered and follow up on. And we who do the work, we might not understand where the success came from, but there is a reward waiting for us. Amen? So let us be faithful. Father, I pray that we would be faithful to not only your word this morning, but Lord, to your work. Thank you for these faithful missionaries who have left us, who have gone and who have been faithful to plant seeds. And now, Father, we pray earnestly, first of all, that you would send laborers into the field, that you would send more people so that we can reach more places and plant more seeds, follow up and water and see fruitfulness. Lord, we pray that you would use us. Financial support is important. But Lord, you know me, and I confess prayer isn't always my first thought. And ministry success being literally more dependent on my praying for you to open a door for the gospel, it's more important than the seeds that have already been planted. And so, Lord, I pray that you would help us to see that and see the important role that we as a church play in your missionaries as they're out in the field. How important it is for us to understand what they're up to. How important it is for us to communicate with them. How important it is for us to encourage them and to send them out in ways where they don't feel like they constantly have obligations back to us and so that they can be freed and released to plant more seeds for your name and for your sake. Father, would you use us in this mysterious kingdom-growing endeavor you call missions? In Jesus' name, amen.